Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB, live from the WHB studios. My name is Brad Porter, having a lot of fun watching and talking some college football as we roll around the metro area and the Midwest. Big 12, SEC, Top 25. Also, Rudy Salazar is running the board today. We've heard from Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com. Also, Darren Helwidge, who's covering the Missouri Tigers down in Columbia, as he gave us an update. Missouri into the second quarter against Idaho, and Mizzou is leading 34-7, which should not be a surprise. Idaho's not a very good football team. But Drew Locke, after starting the game with an interception, has since thrown four touchdown passes. So for Mizzou fans, that is much better news. Also going on to the Big 12, I talked about this earlier. Iowa State and Texas Tech. I talked about Texas Tech and the high-powered offense, 50, 60 points a game, 600, 700 yards. And I said the one team that won't be intimidated by them, there might be others, but one team that will not be intimidated by them is Iowa State. They went toe-to-toe with Oklahoma and beat them down in Norman. Iowa State is leading Texas Tech 17-6 with about 8.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Also in the Big 12, number 10, Oklahoma State at Texas. That game is tied 7-7 with about 11.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Top 25, just one game outside the Big 12 and SEC going on right now. Maryland at number 5, Wisconsin, and number 5, Wisconsin is leading Maryland 14-3. We've also taken a couple of phone calls in the last hour. We can continue to do that. 913-3810-810. A couple of notes to take care of for you first. If you're out and about in the metro area, Cody Tapp is going to be out there. He's a great guy to talk to. And if Cody's listening, this is a compliment. Talks really fast, gives you a lot of information, but he knows. He's a very well-researched young man, and he's a good broadcaster now. He's going to be really, really good. So go out and talk to Cody Tapp. It's a great event if you're a KU basketball fan. It's the 10 Days to Tip-Off event at First National Bank, 7901 159th Street in Overland Park. Here's who's going to be there if you're a Jayhawks basketball fan. Sherron Collins, Calvin Thompson, Bud Stallworth. So if you want autographs, they'll let you take pictures as well. That is going on until 1 o'clock. Again, that's the 10 Days to Tip-Off at the First National Bank in Overland Park. Also today, all day and all night, head up to the Landing in the Northland. They're having great specials all day on Loaded Vodka. And Loaded Vodka, if you don't know, they talk about it a lot here on 810 because they're a great local company. They're locally owned. In fact, Rob Riggle is one of the owners of Loaded Vodka, but doesn't promote himself. He's not on the website anywhere. He doesn't consider himself a big deal. But, 21 Jump Street, The Hangover, Step Brothers. And, oh, yeah, he's a U.S. Marine. So that's going on all day at the Landing in the Northland. They have all the college football games on TV. And then the big event on Sunday. This is going to take me a minute to get through this. There is so much going on Sunday. And I cannot tell you the behind-the-scenes stuff, the logistics that Chad Boger and the sales team here at Union Broadcasting and Sports Radio 810 WHB have had to put together on very short notice, finding out about the showdown for relief between Missouri and Kansas Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at Sprint Center. So here's what's going on. Starting out at 11 o'clock, it's the P&L, at the P&L, it's the Coors Light Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB. On the stage at 11 o'clock, Stephen St. John and Jake Gutierrez. They're going to be on the main stage getting the crowd hyped up. And remember, this isn't just a Kansas party, isn't just a Missouri party. We want all Jayhawks and Tigers fans to come and be part of this. It's nonpartisan. It's a great party. All reasons to have a party. Like American politics, it's the two-party system, right? We have two major parties. Jayhawks and Tigers, two major parties going on. Then when the game starts at 3 o'clock, it's going to be streaming, and it'll be on the big screen at P&L. So the game is sold out. Come down for the pre-party. If you have tickets, go into the game. If you don't have tickets, either stay at the P&L or come there a little bit later and watch the game on the big screen at P&L. And if you're out by the 810 zone in Corbin Park, it'll be streamed there as well. So all of that's going on. In addition to that, I'll be hosting a live radio show down at P&L from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. And here's the list of guests we've got lined up. Brian Haney, voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. He'll be tipping off at 1 o'clock. Jared Sutton, former Missouri Tigers great, also scouts for the NBA and does television work for the SEC Network. My good friend Kenitra Pulliams from Spectrum Sports is going to join us. Greg Gurley, America's guest. He shows up, and that's when the party starts. Maybe if you're nice to Greg Gurley, he will pull out the KU corporate card and buy a round. I don't know. I'm not putting any pressure on you, Greg. So just an idea. I don't know. Probably going to be having some alumni parties and things like that going on. So Greg Gurley will be there about 1:45-ish. It's always an ish on a live event. Connor Dean, another former Kansas Jayhawk, former Rockhurst High School star. He'll be on around 2 o'clock. He'll be down at the main stage, so that should be a lot of fun. And then my good friend Michael Watson, former UMKC basketball star, pride of Central High School, he will be there as well. He's played with and against so many guys who played for both Kansas and Missouri, so he's going to be there as well. So all kinds of things going on. And again, my thanks to Chad Boger, Todd Lebo, the sales team here at Sports Radio 810 WHB and Union Broadcasting for getting all of this put together. And hope you'll come down to P&L on Sunday and have a good time with us. It should be an absolute blast. All right, we're kicking around some college football this afternoon. And like I said, it's not a great slate of games going on today all around nationally. That's just the way it is. You have weeks like this. In the Big 12, outside of K-State and Kansas, have Oklahoma and Texas going on right now. And that game is still tied 7-7 into the second quarter. The night games tonight, Kansas and TCU, and that'll be live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My pregame show will start at 4:30, and then the game kicks off at 7. If you need to watch it on television, it's on Big Fox. And again, if you head up to the landing, they'll have the Loaded Vodka specials going on. You can watch the Jayhawks there as well. And then top 25 games, and I kind of touched on these earlier before I ran out of time, but you have Tennessee and Alabama. And as Darren Helwidge said, Tennessee is a dumpster fire. And so maybe you watch for the car crash effect. I don't know. But you never know. Indiana and Michigan State. Michigan State, number 18. Indiana, I think the only reason they make it an interesting story is because they pushed Michigan to the brink, almost beat the Wolverines. I thought they were going to pull that off. Did not. Number 20, UCF against Navy. Navy is unranked, but Navy is 5-1. And they've got a really good football team. And then the night games tonight, number 19, Michigan at number 2, Penn State, number 11, USC against number 13, Notre Dame. And I'll just ask Rudy, if you have a choice, two games start at 6:30. And maybe you're going to do picture-in-picture. Maybe you got the two TVs. Maybe you're like Soren, who's got, what, a theater in his basement. He's got the 9 television. I'm exaggerating, Soren. I don't know
if that's an exaggeration. He might have 9.
He might have 9.
Or at least 9 screens.
He's got
phones,
more than
tablets.
One. And maybe less than 10. I might be correct if I said that. So if you could pick one game tonight on the national scene to watch between ranked opponents, number 19 Michigan at 5-1, 2-1 in the Big Ten, at number 2 Penn State, who's perfect, 6-0, 3-0 in the conference, and they have a Heisman candidate at running back who I think is a Heisman favorite. So there's your first game, Michigan at Penn State. Or do you watch number 11 USC at number 13, Notre Dame? So, Rudy, which one do you pick there between those two?
I think I go with Michigan and Penn State. I haven't got a chance to really watch Saquon Barkley yet, just because every time he's played, typically Kentucky's playing. So I really haven't gotten a chance to sit down and actually watch a full game, just bits here and there. But he's unbelievable from every clip I've ever seen. Like, he's special.
Well, being an Iowa football fan like I am, I watched the Iowa-Penn State game. Truly soul-crushing finish to the game. But full credit to that kid from Penn State. It still hurts to think about his name and to say his name, but full credit to him. He took over that game. That was hard to watch being an Iowa fan. So, yeah, I might pick Michigan-Penn State as well. Notre Dame has the great setting. Tim Grunhard's going to be probably all over that. I would assume Grunny's going to go with Notre Dame, USC. I'm just guessing. But two good night games tonight after a rather slow start to the day. Let's go to a couple of clips here from folks we talked to during the week and things we talked about during the week. Of course, we'll have the Kansas game on live here at 7 o'clock. One of the things that Gary Barnett talked about when he was on the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady, he was talking about the Kansas struggles. And Nate Buchady sets him up with a question for, if you're a Jayhawks fan, it's not a surprising question, but it almost hurts to hear it. But here's Nate Buchady talking with Gary Barnett from earlier this week on the Border Patrol about Kansas football.
If Kansas hasn't hit rock bottom yet, what is rock bottom for Kansas? And I mean, good gosh. David Beatty says the team's right where they need to be and that they will be turning things around. But, I mean, where do they go from here?
Well, they may have discovered a drill that breaks through rock and can even go to a deeper level. Oh, yeah, boy. You know, that is such a tough situation, Nate. I agree with what you're saying, and it's hard to be optimistic as you look at this. But I want to go back and you know during a game, you're in the middle of a drive. You just want to make them take another snap. You know, you want to stop them one more time, and you sort of have to look at it the same way. You get to play one more game. You get to come out and you get to watch your team play, and you get to see what they're going to do, and then, you know, evaluate them at the end instead of in the middle. But, and I understand that's really hard. I really do. But this is a wacky. You know, these games are wacky, and anything can happen. And if TCU doesn't bring great focus, then anything can happen. And I'm not necessarily trying to give anybody an optimistic approach to this game, but they've got their work cut out for them. They're below everybody from a couple standards, and you know, talent wise and everything else. So yeah, it's going to be tough. But I think you've got to enjoy the year. I know basketball's starting, and we always like to play Kansas this time of year because everybody started thinking about basketball instead of football. And when we found that we were going to play KU at KU at the end of October, it was sort of a relief for us. And that's been customary there. But, you know, they've shown some spots, some hope, but they need to show more. And nobody knows that more than David Beatty and his coaches. And so I just think let's evaluate it when it's over and try to get the most out of it they can now, and try to get the arrow pointed up, even though it's going to be really hard this weekend.
All right, that was the coach, Gary Barnett, on the Border Patrol earlier this week, talking with Nate Buchady and Stephen St. John, and what is rock bottom in college football. And when you get down to the little things that he was talking about, can we just make one more stop? Can we just run one more play? Can we get something positive to happen? And when I watched that game against Iowa State last week, the fact that it took 15 possessions to get across their own 35-yard line was just stunning to me. And TCU is, boy, if you're talking about a team you don't need to face after a performance like that up in Ames, this is it. And you look down the Kansas schedule, and I've been looking at it all morning, and it's, what do the kids call it, cringeworthy to look at. TCU tonight, ranked number 4, down in Fort Worth. Back home to face K-State. K-State has had their struggles, but it's a Sunflower Showdown game. Then against Baylor, and that's where my question mark is. Baylor's been so bad. Can Kansas do something to wrap up over tonight's game and tomorrow's game, next week's game against K-State? Do something to get something positive to happen to go into that Baylor game in 2 weeks with the belief that you have a chance to win. Then after Baylor, it's Texas. Okay, Texas is, they're Texas. They're okay. They're not an awful team. They're not a really good team. And right now they're hanging with Oklahoma State. It's tied 7-7. That game's down in Austin. Then you finish the season with back-to-backs against teams currently ranked in the top 10. You'll be home against number 9, Oklahoma, and on the road down in Stillwater against number 10, Oklahoma State. And I cannot think of a worse 1-2 punch finish to the season than what Kansas is going to have ahead of them right there. Kansas and Missouri, we also talked about it earlier, getting ready to play the showdown for relief tomorrow, Sprint Center, downtown Kansas City. Of course, the P&L party gets started at 11 o'clock for Sports Radio 810 WHB. And one of the other things Gary Barnett talked about was the old border war. And, you know, it's been gone for 5 years now. It's coming back in an exhibition form. Might be a one-off. Might be a one-time only. I don't know. I would hope it would lead to something. I like both programs, like both schools, and I like to see them play against each other. But on the subject of the border war, Gary Barnett had this to say about who it matters more to.
Well, I agree. I mean, this rivalry between schools is one thing, but between states is even more. And, you know, it goes back to the 1850s. And I think that, you know, those of us who grew up in the Midwest, we hold on to that sort of stuff. We hold on to those rivalries, and we hold on to, you know, those thoughts and all the memories that we had of the rivalry between those two schools. And it couldn't come at a better time with both schools' football programs struggling the way it is. It's, you know, it's a refreshing a change and for everybody. But I think it's a great, you know, it's a win-win for everybody, as it looks to me. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of folks there in the Midwest that would sort of wish we had the old Big 8 / maybe even Big 12, you know, leagues back. But, you know, it's a win-win as I see it, and it sounds like you guys are feeling the same way.
And I'll agree with Coach Barnett there. I think it's a win-win for everybody. I know one side may be into it more than the other, but I think it's a win-win. And Coach Barnett made one more point that I like, and I'm coming up on a break here, so I'll try to make this quick. But he said he thinks a lot of folks in Kansas and Missouri would like to either go back to the old Big 8 or the old Big 12. I'd sign up for either one because, I'll be honest with you, Nebraska has been worse off for going to the Big 10. They've been awful. I think Nebraska thought, we're the big dogs. We're nationally ranked. We play for national championships now. We'll go to the Big 10, and we'll show those guys how to play our brand of football. Big 10 schools have said, not so fast. We happen to have Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, The Ohio State University. We got a lot of good schools, a lot of good programs. You're not going to walk in here and start dominating. And I think it's been awful for Nebraska going to the Big 10. And I'm a Big 10 fan myself. And Mizzou leaving might have been better initially going to the SEC because they had a lot of success in football right away, and the money is enormous. But I'll flip that and say the Big 12 is worse for not having Mizzou in it and for all the rivalries and that sort of thing. So Texas A&M, I'm fine either way. I mean, whatever. Colorado, I kind of liked them in the old Big 12 and Big 8, but whatever. But Mizzou and Nebraska in particular, I would love to have back in the Big 12 with the old Big 8. All right, we will take time out here. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's kind of a fun little Saturday afternoon song. I like that. What is that?
This is 21 Pilots, Lane Boy.
Okay, I think I've heard this a couple of times on the Border Patrol.
Yeah, Josh also, huge fan of 21 Pilots.
Josh is.
He plays it all the time. All anytime right. he gets a chance, he plays them.
Josh Briscoe, bringing the hip young music to Sports Radio 810 WHB. By the way, my name is Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is producing the show today. Got a lot going on around college football and a lot of big events going on. I'll just give you a couple updates. I talked about earlier that I didn't think Iowa State would be at all intimidated by Texas Tech and their high-powered offense. I'm not right all the time. I'm right once in a while. And I'm right on this one because Iowa State is absolutely steamrolling Texas Tech 24-6. And they just took a shot of Ryan Gosling, the head coach on the sideline. I kid. The head coach looks like Ryan Gosling. But Iowa State down in Lubbock is steamrolling Texas Tech 24-6. And I just looked at their box score. Talk about passing teams. Texas Tech is supposed to be the high passing team, right? Iowa State has 163 passing yards, and we're almost at halftime. You know how many passing yards Texas Tech has through almost two full quarters? 12. 12 passing yards for Texas Tech, and that's on eight completions and nine attempts. So Szymanek down at Texas Tech, I got to be careful when I say that name, Szymanek. Careful on the pacing on that. So Szymanek at Texas Tech, almost at halftime, 8 of 9 for 12 yards. So right now, Iowa State, don't classify this as a boat race yet, but you're getting a little bit close. The other game off and running in the Big 12 is Oklahoma State and Texas, and that's down in Austin, and they are still tied 7-7, so two early scores, and then nothing more after that. And then over in the SEC, Mizzou had the early start today down in Columbia against Idaho. Mizzou leading 37-14, did not expect this game to be close, but Drew Locke with a good bounce back after throwing an interception on the first possession has thrown four touchdown passes. So we'll get an update in just a couple of minutes from Darren Helwidge, who's down at that game, and get his impressions of the first half for the Missouri Tigers. A couple of reminders for you as well. Got a lot going on in WHB land today. Cody Tapp is out at the 10 Days to Tip-Off event, First National Bank, 7901 159th Street in Overland Park. Signing autographs today at First National Bank in Overland Park. Former Kansas basketball greats Sherron Collins, Calvin Thompson, and Bud Stallworth. They're also taking pictures as well. That's going on till 1 o'clock. And then all day long today at the Landing in the Northland, great specials start to finish on Loaded Vodka. You can catch all the games. You got Mizzou already going on, K-State at 3, Kansas at 7 o'clock, or if you want to watch some of the other games. Loaded Vodka, locally owned company, partially owned by Rob Riggle. But they'll have specials going on all day at the Landing. We just had a funny moment here in the studio, and maybe this doesn't translate. It was shocking at first, and then I realized the joke. So Rudy got a phone call in the control room and said somebody was looking for me. And I won't tell you who. Somebody was looking for me. And I said, well, who's looking for me? Derek Hagelin comes around the corner and said, you're wanted for murder. Now, I'm not. Thankfully, that's not the case. But I initially paused because, you know, maybe somebody with your name has been charged with something, and they start calling and looking around. And so I panicked for about 30 seconds, and then finally, like, you're kidding, right? Finally, they let me off the hook, and Rudy told me who it was that was calling. It's no big deal, but I didn't need that early on a Saturday morning afternoon. So if we could please ask Derek Hagelin not to do that again, I would appreciate it. So we got all the college football, and of course the Kansas City Marathon was today, and people had the chance to run the full marathon, the half marathon, the 5K, which Jed Marshall did, and I think they had a walk as well. So congratulations to Kathy Nelson, Dave Borch over the Sports Commission, a great event, which I drove past this morning and saw all the fine folks. I cannot believe how many volunteers and police officers it takes to help to line the course, to protect the runners. It's just an amazing event. All right, we're going to talk a little Kansas football. Let me check the Missouri time frame right now, because we're going to go to back to Columbia here in a minute when they get to halftime. They've got about 3.5 minutes left, so let's go ahead and do this for Kansas. I had a conversation earlier this week with Jesse Newell, who covers Kansas for the Kansas City Star. And one of the ideas that we kind of kicked around was the fact that we were wondering why TCU and Kansas always plays close games, particularly last year. And when they're down in Fort Worth, they're close games. And that should not be the case, because TCU has been, for a majority of the time, the last 10 years, nationally ranked. They're number 4 right now. But Kansas and TCU plays these close games. Perhaps it's the David Beatty factor. He's from the state of Texas. He likes to recruit the state of Texas. There's a lot of Jayhawks players who are from Fort Worth and Dallas and the Texas area and play in front of family and friends today, a lot of family and friends today. And I'm sure David Beatty and his coaches have been doing a lot of recruiting, especially Friday night for all those games. Maybe that's a factor in it. So I talked about that with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We know coaches are rather infamous for saying things like each week is an opportunity. But for the Kansas Jayhawks, going on the road, especially in conference play, has not presented too many opportunities for, I mean, we're going on such a long period of time now, I don't even want to think about it most of the time. But how does David Beatty get his team up for this game, especially a road game against a nationally ranked opponent?
Yeah, I think this one might be a little bit different, because you've seen the last 3 years for KU, the TCU game has been one where the Jayhawks have played really well.
Yes, it has, yeah.
They've lost all three games, but I think it combined 11 points, if I added it up right, in those three games when you know, all three of them, they were heavy underdogs. You know, this game means a little bit something different just based on what goes on with KU, just because of a couple different reasons. For one, you know, this game is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and, you know, David Beatty's from there. He said his twin brother will be there. His mom is going to try to make it. And then he also has recruited a lot of players that have come from that area as well. So it's kind of just a natural, you know, we hear the old cliche, chip on the shoulder. But, you know, these guys probably thought they should play for TCU. They probably thought they should be, you know, recruited by Texas and these sorts of schools. So you come down there and naturally, you know, there's a little bit more energy to you. And then you're playing in front of friends and family. I mean, that as well. You know, they've been seeing you on TV. They know that kind of how the season has gone. But there might just be a little bit of extra juice there when you know that you're going to be playing in front of family and know you're playing against a team that you probably feel like should have recruited you. So all those things kind of go together. And you could see why this would be a game where the guys, it shouldn't be very difficult for them to get up for it. And then you add prime time to it. You know, KU... I asked Katie Lonergan, the great sports information director for KU football, kind of, you know, when was the last time that KU played in prime time? And, you know, the answer kind of depends on what you want to look at. But the last time KU played on Fox was the Orange Bowl in 2008. And so
wow.
You kind of get the same sort of opportunity or see the same sort of opportunity for Kansas, that this kind of opportunity to be on prime time, on national television, on Fox for the entire nation. I mean, it comes with a little bit of pressure because things could go wrong. And if things do go wrong, then everybody sees it. But it comes with a lot of opportunity as well, so that if you go out there and you play well, there's a whole lot of people that are going to see it.
I thought you brought up an interesting point there, and that there could be some Texas kids on this Jayhawks roster that feel like they got passed over by TCU and perhaps Texas, and maybe that played a role in knocking off the Longhorns in Lawrence last year. But when you look at these Texas kids and the kind of the big thing about David Beatty when they hired him is he does have the Texas connections. Are those connections paying off, and do the players who come to Lawrence from the state of Texas, are they good players? Are they making an impact on the Jayhawks program?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what you want to look at with that, because, again, you're right, David Beatty, a big reason for him being brought to Kansas was his Texas recruiting ties. And, you know, you go back, we just mentioned the Orange Bowl team. I mean, how many players did KU have that were, you know, major players on their team, the Aqib Talibs of the world, that they got kind of overlooked because the talent is so rich in Texas? So, you know, it kind of depends. There's been some hits. There's been some misses with that. And, you know, year three might be too soon to make a final judgment on that. But if you look at, you know, a couple of the guys, the one that comes to mind immediately is Dorrance Armstrong. And that's probably just the prototype of what they want to happen at Kansas. You know, the kid played basketball. He was a little bit undersized as a defensive end. KU's coaches saw something in him. They recruited him. And then they got him to campus, and they had about, you know, 35, 40 pounds to him. And all of a sudden you're looking at a, you know, a preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year and a guy that could go in the first round of next year's NFL draft. So that's kind of like the perfect scenario for KU when this happens. You mentioned it. There have been some other guys that haven't worked out as well, and KU hasn't, you know, recruited maybe Texas even as much as many fans thought. You know, they've been kind of dipping their toe in Louisiana a little bit and going outside. But still, I think 37 players from Texas, and I thought this quote, you know, from Dorrance Armstrong kind of said it all when talking to him. I was talking to him about TCU and kind of, what does that game mean to you when you go down there? What you know, what is your mindset? And he says, you didn't recruit me, you didn't really offer me, now you've got to pay. That's just the mindset to me. And so I think a lot of those guys, they get down there and they see TCU, they see the facilities, they see kind of the school that they feel like kind of spurned them a little bit, and they get motivated to play. So we'll see that, how that turns out for the Jayhawks. And again, if that turns into a competitive game, when a lot of people think it won't be.
All right, that was Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks, talking about the possibility that maybe Kansas gets a little fire because they always play TCU close. A lot of Texas kids on the Kansas football team who maybe want to show TCU and Texas Tech that they, you know, you overlooked us and we're going to play you close and we're going to play hard. I don't know. I don't expect that tonight, but it's a possibility, definitely. Update from Columbia, Missouri, now leading Idaho 44-14. So that game going about as we expected. Oklahoma State and Texas still at 7-7, which is a little bit of a surprise. So, and Iowa State leading Texas Tech 24-6 as they go into halftime. We will take a quick timeout. More of Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter, along with Rudy Salazar. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, taking you to the finish line here at 1 o'clock. My name is Brad Porter. Having a blast over here at the studios. The sun looks like it's going to try to peek out. I'm looking out the doors. They have some great double glass doors here in the studio at Union Broadcasting. You look right outside during the show. It looks like the clouds are trying to break up a little bit, so hopefully we'll get that to you. So, again, I'm Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is producing for us today. You have about 20 minutes left to get out to this. Let me run it to you one more time. Cody Tapp is out at the 10 Days to Tip Off event at First National Bank, 7901 159th Street in Overland Park, signing autographs out there today. I'm sure Cody Tapp will sign an autograph for you if you want. But there's some other folks out there you might be interested in, like Sherron Collins, maybe the greatest point guard in the Bill Self era, Kansas. Calvin Thompson, great, terrific player. Bud Stallworth, legendary. So Sherron Collins, Calvin Thompson, and Bud Stallworth signing autographs. Again, that's the 10-day to tip-off event at First National Bank, 7901 159th Street in Overland Park. If you see Cody, say hello to him. Good kid, good guy. Anybody that's under 30, I call a kid. I know Cody's, I don't think he's 30 yet, so you're a kid, kid. Another event today, head up to the Landing in the Northland. This is going on all day, specials on loaded vodka. You can catch all the college football games on there, whether you're a Mizzou fan, K-State, KU, or you have another favorite team. Loaded vodka specials all day at the Landing in the Northland. Of course, that's a locally owned company, which WHB and Union Broadcasting do a lot of things to partner with local companies. So loaded vodka specials all day at the Landing in the Northland. Now, the schedule for Power and Light tomorrow, this takes me a minute, and Missouri's just about to halftime, and we're going to check in with Darren Helwig down in Columbia when they get to halftime here. Mizzou is up 50-14 over Idaho. Not really a surprise, but good to see something positive happen for Mizzou, and Drew Lock has 5 passing touchdowns in the first half. So we got that going. So here's what's going on at Power and Light tomorrow. This is going to be a full day. This is what we call a good full day. So the Coors Light Fan Fest, presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB, part of the Showdown for Relief, that gets started right at 11 o'clock on the main stage. Stephen St. John and Jake Gutierrez, and they'll have a good time. Stephen St. John, if you've never seen him rev up a crowd, he's fantastic. Jake Gutierrez is going to be great as well. Just don't ask him about what happened to Manchester United today. He might get upset about that. And by the way, we want all fans to go there. It doesn't matter. Jayhawks, Tigers, this is a dual party. This is bipartisan. Jayhawks and Tigers, everybody come down 11 o'clock for the Coors Light Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then I'll start the radio show at 1 o'clock. We'll go from 1 to 2:30. And the list of guests we have out there, starting at 1 o'clock, we'll have Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. He'll be coming back from Fort Worth after calling the Jayhawks and TCU game tonight. We'll also have Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri Tigers star, scout for the NBA, also does TV on the SEC Network. My friend Kenitra Pulliams from Spectrum Sports will be on as well. Greg Gurley, about 1:45. And Greg Gurley is the absolute life of the party. Wherever he is where the party is. And he is going to be at Power and Light. Connor Tian, former Kansas Jayhawks great, Rockers High School grad. He's going to join us right about 2 o'clock. And again, all these people will be up on the main stage area or close to it. We'll get our location for you. And then about 2:15, Michael Watson, former UMKC star, knows all the Kansas Jayhawks, all the Missouri Tigers. So he'll be on as well. So that is going to be a great full Sunday at Power and Light. Then, after the party and after the radio show, game starts at 3 o'clock. We'll have it for you live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But don't forget, the game is streaming. And if you're down at Power and Light and you don't have tickets because the game is sold out, they're going to have the streaming broadcast on the big screen at Power and Light. So you can hang out all day. Get there for the party at 11, hang around for the radio show at 1, watch the game at 3 on the big screen at P&L. Or if you're in the area of the 810 zone, at Corbin Park, the 810 zone will carry it as well. So multiple places to watch it. So it should be an absolute blast. Sometimes you got to take a drink of water when you read a big promo like that. So that should be fun. So we'll get to Darren Helwig momentarily. I'm going to check the Big 12 for you here because we got just a few minutes left in the show, and I need my ESPN page to update quicker. Okay, here we go. Big 12, just two early games today. Oklahoma State and Texas, number 10 Oklahoma State. This one's down in Austin, and I thought it might be able to be a close game. I thought Texas might be able to hang, especially on the home field, and Texas has been playing a little bit better at times. This game is tied 7-7 at halftime. And if you're Mike Gundy, and you already have one loss on your resume, both overall and in the conference, you should be a little bit nervous. Because I don't think Oklahoma State is in the playoff picture. If you're at number 10 right now, it's awfully hard to get back into the playoff picture unless you just go on a tremendous run, put up huge scores, and you get a couple of people in front of you to slip down. So Oklahoma State's playing with a little bit of fire here, letting Texas hang and being tied 7-7 at halftime. Also in the Big 12, Iowa State on the road down in Lubbock to play Texas Tech. And I said this earlier, I thought Iowa State would be a team that would have no fear of Texas Tech's high-powered offense. They don't care if you put up 50 or 60 a game. They don't care if you put up 500 and 600 yards. They went down to Norman, Oklahoma, got a big win, planted the flag of the state of Iowa at midfield. They don't care who you are. And I think that stems from the coach. Well, at halftime, Iowa State is up on Texas Tech 24-6. Iowa State with absolutely no fear. And Texas Tech's offense. And Texas Tech, look, they don't have a terrible record. They're 4-2 overall, but they're 1-2 in the conference. And you wonder how long Texas Tech remains happy with their coach. But again, as we said earlier, what are your expectations? What should your expectations for your program, what should they be? Now, when Michael Crabtree was at Texas Tech, yeah, you had to think about playoffs, bowl games, big things like that. Right now, I think it's just bowl games, getting bowl eligible for Texas Tech. So Iowa State all over Texas Tech. We'll take a phone call here. Missouri's just about to halftime, and then we'll check in Columbia. Okay, Tommy Moe was here, and then he was gone. So that's all right, Tommy Moe. Hey, I like you. Tommy Moe's one of the great callers in 810 history, and I always like to hear him when he calls in on the Border Patrol or Seren Show or with Kevin on Between the Lines. So we're going to go to Columbia here momentarily and just going to get a progress report. It's not a great game by any stretch of the imagination, but I know there's a lot of listeners in the area who not only support Mizzou, but support all three local teams, want to see them do well. I know it always makes for better radio when local teams do well. So Missouri leading 51-14 right now as the final seconds tick off before halftime. And Drew Locke is putting up fantastic numbers. And when I talked to Darren Helwig last time, who's down in Columbia covering the game, we kind of talked about what you wanted to see out of this game. You knew Missouri was going to steamroll in this game. And maybe you couldn't take that for granted based on their performances this season, but a good chance against an Idaho team that's frankly not that great. And what you wanted to get for Mizzou players, and for the coaching staff as well, and for the fans, because it's homecoming in Columbia today, you wanted to get a good show. You wanted the players and the coaching staff to gain some traction in terms of confidence. Are the things we're doing the right things? Are the plays we're calling the right plays? Are the players we have on the field the right players? Are we putting those players in a position to be successful? And although this is a non-conference game, Missouri is seeing what they needed to see, and they're getting what they needed to get. And Drew Locke's numbers today are very impressive. You still have to go out and play the game. Drew Locke is 17-24, 371 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And those 5 touchdowns came after he threw an interception on the first series of the game. So Drew Locke able to bounce back just a little bit. And speaking of Drew Locke and the Missouri Tigers, Darren Helwig, who joins us early in the show, joins us again from KBIA down in Columbia. Darren, I just listed off all the things that Missouri wanted to see today, and they have definitely seen that and more just in the first half.
Yeah, they're checking off all of the boxes. 465 yards passing for Drew Locke. That's a pretty good first half, I'd say. team the score, and if you're thinking that doesn't sound like a whole lot has happened since we spoke last, that is true. And the reason for that, an 8-minute and 17-yard drive by Idaho, 17-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. I tell you what, Idaho is completely overmatched here. But Matt Linehan, the quarterback for Idaho, he's an impressive guy. I like him a lot. So if you're from Idaho and you're looking for a bright spot, there it is. And if that name sounds familiar, I assume I'm probably the only Rams fan left.
I was going to ask if he was Scott Linehan's kid.
Yes, Scott Linehan's kid, and he's a good quarterback. I like him.
So now that we're at halftime here, there's also a rushing touchdown. We didn't see the rushing game get going really in that first quarter, but now what, close to 100 yards overall in the first two quarters. So they were able to get the running game going and get Roundtree and Ish Whittier going.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, that drive was based on a long pass to tight end Kendall Blanton, but they did get a touchdown to Ish Whittier, and they do have almost 100 yards rushing. They're going to obviously adjust the offense and what they're doing a little bit now with the score getting out of hand. But, yeah, they have run the ball a little bit more, and I think we'll probably see even more of that in the second half.
So as we head to the second half with Missouri leading Idaho 51-14, not only was this game an opportunity to do some good things, get some confidence, give the fans something to root for, especially on homecoming, will the second half present an opportunity for Coach Odom and his staff to get in guys who are inexperienced as they head in, and I had to flip my page here, as they head into their next stretch of games where they have UConn, which may be okay, but they'll have Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas, but get those younger kids a lot more experience, especially if you're planning to have a bounce back next season?
That is... I'd say a couple of things about that decision that is going to be difficult to make. Because on the one hand, yeah, you like to get some guys some playing experience. You like to get them in there in the second half. On the other hand, this offense is rolling right now. Everything's on the right page. And you may just want to get some reps for these guys and see about that. On the other hand, you would hate somebody get hurt in a game like this. So, yeah, we may start seeing, especially by the time we get about midway through the third quarter, closer to the fourth quarter, I think we'll start seeing some names that we aren't as familiar with getting into this game. But for the time being, I think you'll see Drew Lock go back out there to start the second half, and I think you'll see most of the starting offense, at least for a drive or two.
Yeah, and maybe some of the backups will get a few plays here and there or a drive here and there. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I know it's homecoming, so you expect a big crowd, but the numbers were a little bit down through the first few games of the season. What are the numbers inside the stadium look like today down in Columbia?
Better than what I would expect, given what's been happening so far this season and the fact that they're playing Idaho. It's homecoming, so there's a little bit bigger crowd than one might have expected, but I tell you what, it's still not what we would have seen to go for Mizzou. The crowds have been a little bit disappointing, but everybody that's here is having a good time, and it's a beautiful day. Since I am speaking to Kansas City, though, I did find a couple of little notes that I thought would be of specific interest to you. Nick Bartolotta is kicking for the Tigers today. He's made all but one of his extra points and got a field goal there in the second quarter. He's just transfer. The usual Mizzou kicker, Tucker McCann, suspended one game for the ubiquitous violation of team rules,
sure,
which could mean practically anything.
Sure.
But Nick Bartolotta out there, fans of KU will recognize that name. And another guy that's here in the stadium I heard today, it is homecoming, Mitch Morse from the Kansas City
Outstanding.
Chiefs. Outstanding. He's out here. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but not only Mitch Morse, a great former Tiger athlete, but so is his fiance, Katie Wilson, great volunteer here at Mizzou.
Right, and they just got engaged not too long ago. I saw the pictures on Twitter and Instagram and all that. So,
yeah,
very good stuff.
Full of useless information.
Sure.
Here, right?
Hey, Darren Helwich, I haven't had a chance to work with you before. Great job today, and hopefully at some point we'll be able to do this again. But outstanding job, and enjoy the second half down in Columbia.
Appreciate it. I've enjoyed it, too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's Darren Helwich from KBIA down in Columbia, where the Tigers lead Idaho 51-14 at halftime. All right, got 1 minute left in the show. Just a couple of reminders. Get out to the Landing in the Northland specials on loaded vodka all day long. So if you need a place to crash out, watch some college football, please go up there. And then the big party at the P&L tomorrow starting at 11 o'clock, the Coors Light Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Showdown for Relief. Stephen St. John, Jake Gutierrez on the main stage at 11. I'll be on the air from 1 to 2:30, somewhere close to the main stage, maybe on the main stage. Brian Haney, Jared Sutton, Kenitra Pulliams, Greg Gurley, Connor Tien, Michael Watson will all join us. The game will be streamed on the big screen at P&L, and also the streaming broadcast will be at the A-10 Zone in Corbin Park. So we have got you set for the entire weekend. My special thanks to Chad Boger and Todd Lebo for having me over today. Thanks to Rudy Salazar running the board today, and Jed Marshall for doing so much for me this weekend. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy your Saturday in college football or whatever you're doing.